When I was in the seminary, I received 2 degrees. And if you go down to my office, each of those degrees says magna cum laude. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm actually setting up a self-deprecating story. Because in Rome, where I went to seminary, all of the tests, for the most part, are done orally. So the whole semester is based on a 10-minute conversation between you and the professor. It can be a little nerve-wracking because you can't really look at the questions and think about it and write it out, and he could ask about anything. You have to be fast. And if you're a good speaker, it actually helps. Just good at sort of talking off the top of your head. And if you've been to many of my homilies, you know that that's sort of one of my gifts. So one day, I went to this professor from Ireland, and he was teaching eschatology, which is pretty complicated. It's about the end times, the last things, the end of the world. So it's all sort of draped in mystery and the thoughts of the fathers, and I was a little nervous. And he started off with a question about the inspiration of Scripture. It was a question I wasn't expecting, so I just started to talk. And I told him, you know, Father, actually with inspiration of Scripture, the idea is that without the magisterium of the church to guide the interpretation of Scripture, then you can come up with anything. In fact, the devil himself can quote Scripture to his own liking. And there was a pause, and he looked at me and he said, my boy, where did you hear that saying? He was from Ireland. That's the best I can do. Lucky Charms accent. And I said, well, you know, I think that's what my dad used to always say. And he looked at me and he said, my own sainted father used to say the very same thing. Well, from that point forward, I was golden because I reminded him of his dad's own sayings. And I still remember one of the questions was, the possible answers were either the will or the intellect. So I had a 50-50 chance. And he asked the question, he said, so would that be the will or the intellect? And I said, I believe that would be the will. And there was this pause, and he said, I'll ask again, would that be the will or the intellect? And I said, oh, the will. And he said, you got it right again. So by the end of the test, he looked at me, he's like, well, you did very well, Mr. Farrell, and I think you know the grade that you're going to get. I think I do. And it was a 10 out of 10. So part of my point is, when you see the magna cum laude, take it with a grain of salt. But the other thing is that in that test, I did sort of stumble upon an important truth that St. Paul is talking about. And that's the point that Scripture, and indeed the entire tradition of the church, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's the reason that for 2,000 years, no matter what pope we had, how bad he was or how good he was, no matter who the priests and the bishops have been, no matter what kind of outside pressure from kings and rulers that they exerted to change the teachings of the church, no matter what kind of persecution we went through, the teachings have remained the same. And that's the guarantee of Christ, who said that not even the gates of hell will prevail against you. So that the Holy Spirit is holding us together. The tradition of the church starts with Christ himself. And it's through the tradition of the church that we receive sacred scripture. The Bible, as we know it, as a collection of books that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, was determined by 2 councils, the Council of Carthage and Hippo, in the 3rd and 4th centuries. This collection of books that we have as the Bible grew out of the church tradition, not the other way around. The Bible is based upon the inspiration of the Holy Spirit within the Catholic Church. So when we talk about Scripture, we're talking about part of Catholic tradition. St. Paul today talks about how we have to be willing to proclaim the Scripture, and that all Scripture is useful for teaching, for admonishment, for correction, and for inspiration. But it's not a personal interpretation, because elsewhere St. Paul talks about how the interpretation of Scripture is never a personal one. And as soon as we make it a personal interpretation that's divorced from the teaching of the church, then we're lost. Yes, God has specific things he wants to say to each one of us in his word, but it can never be contrary to what the church teaches, because the same Holy Spirit that inspires Scripture and the interpretation of Scripture is also the Holy Spirit that inspires the faith and the tradition of the church out of which the Bible comes. So it doesn't change. Rather, what happens is the world around that Scripture, around that word, changes, so that it can be inconvenient to proclaim the truths that the church has taught for 2,000 years. And we see this in every single age. In ancient times, it was very inconvenient to proclaim that there was one God and that he died on a cross, when the whole world believed in a pantheon of gods. So to preach to Romans that there was only one God was completely inconvenient and led to a persecution. Yet we kept proclaiming it. 200 years ago, it was very inconvenient to proclaim the church's teachings on slavery. And many Catholics didn't. Many Catholics owned slaves. But those who were brave enough to proclaim the truth were vindicated. Today, it's very convenient to preach the church's teaching on slavery because almost universally, the world is against it. Just 30 or 40 years ago, it was very convenient to preach the church's teaching on marriage. Now it's very inconvenient because the spirit of the age has changed. In other words, there's always going to be a teaching or two or many that does not change because God doesn't change, but it becomes inconvenient to proclaim it. The church remains steady while the world changes around it. And the church is not guided by public opinion. Although many people, even those within the church, would like to change that. So, if you've paid any attention to the news, we have the WikiLeaks emails that are coming out from John Podesta, who is a nominal Catholic. He says he's Catholic. But in his emails, he's a Democratic political operative, in his emails, he talks about how we need to set up a revolution in the church, the Catholic Church specifically, to shift public opinion, to shift what we believe. And he talks about a couple of organizations that they started to do this. Catholics United, United for the Common Good. They sound great, but their whole agenda is to change what the church teaches. So his idea is to turn the church into a democracy, where all of us sort of pull our minds together and decide what the church should believe. Now, we've seen what the commonality of voting can do. It can be good or bad. But oftentimes, churches do this very thing. There are mainline Protestant churches that have collections of people that vote on what the teachings of the church should be. And they are all over the place. And whatever the spirit of the age is telling them to believe is what they do. In other words, whatever they're teaching is convenient. They don't have the inconvenient truths because when the world is telling them to believe a certain way, then the teachings of God changes, the teachings of God which never change because God is unchanging. So we have people who are actively trying to put the seeds of dissent in the church so that we come to an understanding somehow that we know better than the Holy Spirit, that we know better than God. And this is a huge fallacy. This is why so many mainline Protestant churches lose so many people, because although it makes preaching the faith easier, it doesn't challenge us. And if there's one thing that Christ promised us, it's that if we're true Christians, the world is going to hate us, just like they hated him, because we're going to challenge them to be better than they are. And it starts with ourselves, challenging ourselves to be better than we are. So all of us together are sailing on this bark of Peter, the ship of Peter. Now there's other ships out there, and those have an easy, nice trip, because they go with wherever the wind is blowing of the other spirit, the spirit of the age, the zeitgeist. And that makes it easy. But I'll tell you that those ships will end up directly on rocky shoals, because Christ even said that the road to hell is wide and easy. The road to salvation is narrow and difficult. Our ship, the ship of Peter, is the one that's going through the waves. That while the world changes around us, we stay focused on God. And we're guided not by the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, but by the Holy Spirit himself. And we'll end up, after this difficult journey, this inconvenient journey, the one where we're all seasick, we'll end up in that safe harbor of heaven. And if you end up in that harbor, then you've graduated life summa cum laude.